God promises to bring Israel back to its land from the most remote parts of exile. In Zion, Israel will rejoice over God's gift of food and livestock. Young women will express their joy in dancing. God will give gladness instead of sorrow. A reading from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together. A great company, they shall return here. With reaping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlines far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd's flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from the hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty. Word of God, word of life.
Our psalm this morning is 137, and we sing it responsibly.
Thank you. Jesus within and among us. Love is the peace our hearts are seeking. Love, love, love is the gift of Christmas. Love, love, praise to you, God on high.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. If I cough during this sermon, it's not that I'm allergic to you, nor am I allergic to the gospel, but I'm only as human as the next person, right? So grace and peace to you from God, whose word became incarnate in Jesus Christ, and who comes into the world and meets us as our creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. There was a time long ago in a galaxy far away when I served on the churchwide staff of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America offices in Chicago. I have to say that I am glad that I am not in Chicago today. I recall a dreary December in Chicago when it was cold, cloudy, overcast, with occasional snow for much of the month. I was getting tired of this Chicago winter weather. I felt lethargic, grumpy, impatient, and ambivalent about the work I was doing. And on top of this, I had to go to Minneapolis for a meeting. I wondered what bright idea was it to have a meeting in Minneapolis in December. But it was a meeting I couldn't miss. So I got on the plane. I certainly wasn't happy about this meeting. I really didn't want to go to Minneapolis. I expected more of the same dreary winter weather. The plane took off. The ascent was smooth, uneventful, and eventually the plane broke through the clouds. And as soon as the plane broke through the clouds, the cabin was immediately filled with, you know what? Sunlight. All at once, I was amazed, surprised, excited, energized, and glad to again experience real sunlight. Not this fluorescent stuff or not light bulbs. No. In that plane cabin, there was not a dark, dreary spot to be found. Everyone was bathed in sunlight. I could sense everyone's spirits being lifted by the sunlight coming through the cabin windows. And now I was glad to be on this plane, even though it was going to Minneapolis. I'll admit that the meeting in Minneapolis went very well, better than I had expected. When I returned to Chicago, I was energized, enthusiastic, and ready to face the challenges of ministry. We are people who need light and who seek light. I think one of the reasons we seek and need light is because, well, we have to admit it, there is darkness in the world. Darkness comes in many shapes and can take the form of violence, broken relationships, people hurting other people, crime, terrorism, war, prisons, homelessness, hunger, disease, illness, addiction, gosh, this list keeps going, discrimination, unemployment, sexism, hate groups, racism, evil, and the list goes on and on and on and on. I mean, we just have to open our paper, listen to NPR, and we cannot avoid the darkness, whether it be anti-Semitic attacks, whether it be killing a general, whether it be people rattling sabers, it's all around us. And we don't have to go far to experience darkness in the world. Whatever darkness exists in the world, we bring it into the church. You know, I like to remind folks, you know, whatever is out there, because we live outside these walls on a regular basis, we bring that dark, junky stuff among us. As a matter of fact, darkness is even in and among us. We all mess up, and I'm at the forefront of that. We fail, we fall short, we're imperfect, we fail to do the things we ought to do, and simultaneously we do the things we don't want to do. At times we don't trust God, we even turn away from God at various times. In the face of darkness, we seek light that helps us deal with the darkness in the world. We need light to counteract the darkness around us, among us, and in us. Which points to another reason why we seek light. We seek light because of what it does. When there is a blackout, have you noticed what many of us do? And we've had a lot of practice up here, right? In terms of PG&E with their, I won't say it, what I say about it. Anyway, when there's a blackout, we seek light, any form of light. Light a match or light a candle, right? And I'm sure we have our set of spare candles. We find a flashlight. How many of us have extra flashlights now, right? We turn on a mobile phone and use the flashlight app. All of us have done that, right, on a regular basis. We have a flashlight app. Okay, and when there's darkness, we seek out any form of light. And I'm always amazed at what a simple nightlight can do to help us deal with the darkness of night. I mean, I grew up with a nightlight. I remember putting a nightlight there for my daughters, and I'm guessing all of us have had experience with nightlights, or, you know, as I'm getting older, I appreciate that nightlight that's in the restroom. Okay? We have all used the expression, well, you know this particular expression, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, we all know that, right? Okay. Have you noticed that no matter how long the tunnel, we never say how long this tunnel is. As long as we can see that speck of light, we have hope. Isn't that the reality about that expression? As long as we see that speck of light and we just don't know how long that tunnel is, we have hope. And we can see possibilities because of that speck of light or some form of light at the end of that tunnel. We know that the darkness can be overcome. Light has the power to empower us to face the darkness that we encounter in our lives and the face of darkness in the world and in us. Light exposes and points out the darkness. Light provides hope and possibilities for changing the darkness. Light energizes us to work for change and to be part of the solution. Light supports courage in the face of darkness. Light brings us together. Light makes the darkness go away. And I think that these are reasons why the Magi, the three wise guys from the East, like I call them, or these stargazers followed that star. These wise men followed a star. They followed a light, which would lead them to a brighter light, whom we today know as Jesus Christ. During this Christmas season, we celebrate and experience the Word made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. We proclaim that Jesus is God with us, or in other words, Emmanuel, God with us. And today, on this second Sunday of the Christmas season, we focus on Jesus being manifested as light. Light for all of us, light for all humanity, light for the world. At the Transfiguration, Jesus shined like the blinding light of the sun. On the road to Damascus, Paul experienced the risen Jesus Christ as a blinding, bright light. And you know that story on the road to Damascus. Paul was blinded by that light. John's gospel today proclaims that Jesus is the light of all people, no exceptions, the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And of course, the darkness will never overcome it. Here at worship, we light candles as signs of the light of Christ among us. At Christmas Eve services, wherever you go for Christmas Eve services, lights are dimmed. And for us here, we sang Silent Night while holding lit candles. And we survived. There was not a fire. At Christmas Eve, we proclaimed through lit candles and song that the light of Christ came into the world in the birth of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and the light of Christ reveals God's grace, manifests God's love, and keeps hope alive. Jesus' light shines among us and was passed on to us at each of our baptisms. At Holy Baptism, Peace Lutheran Church gives a baptismal candle to the newly baptized person. The baptismal candle symbolizes and proclaims to the newly baptized person and to all the people gathered that we have received the light of Christ, and we too, all of us, are lights for the world. I mean, Jesus' light empowers us to shine. I mean, we're able to sing, you know, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We all know that, right? We're gonna let it shine. So how will each of us shine? Well, we let it shine when we show love for one another, and we dare to love. We dare to express that love for whether it be family, friends, neighbors, the outcast, the marginalized, or even we dare to forgive. At times it's hard, but try it. That's how we, or working for reconciliation. I mean, there's enough broken relationships in the world. Or I look at the Congress of the United States and I said, they're in need of reconciliation, getting tired of divided government. But I'm not there to fix that. November, whoever you want to vote for, I'm not encouraging you to vote whatever way, okay? Okay, reconciliation. Or tell others the story of Jesus. You might let that shine, light shine. I love to tell the story. I think all of us have our version of the story, and we let that shine through us. Or feed the hungry. I mean, we have a commitment to the interfaith food ministry, but there's a lot of other things we do to feed the hungry and care for them. And you can volunteer for any number of organizations. Work for peace or work for racial healing, and we need that certainly in our world. Or participate in civil, and I want to emphasize civil, political discourse. You know, we need to talk more. I am tired of lazy democracy where we don't talk about these things and try to figure out what's best for the common good of the people and try to understand one another. I mean, if there's a group of folks who should be able to talk about this stuff, it should be us. I mean, we love each other more than other folks, right? So give it a try and let's listen. or journey through this, as we journey through this transition together, we have an opportunity to display that light brightly to the people who come in contact with us. In other words, if Jesus makes a difference in each of our lives, how will each of us show it? And we show it by the light that is in us. How will we let the light of Jesus Christ shine through us? The important thing is that we each shine, and we shine also together. It's amazing what a little light can do. It's amazing what God can do with a little bit of light. And this same light of Christ will light the path on which Peace Lutheran Church will travel during this time of transition in preparation for calling its next settled pastor. The light of Jesus Christ shines in the world and in us. Through Christ, we are now light for the world, and this light shines at Peace Lutheran Church. I mean, that's the promise. We are called to let our light shine so that others can see and experience God. Howard Thurman, theologian and pastor, wrote, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music," get that, "to make music in the heart." John proclaims to us, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Nothing can ever separate us from the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. And my voice held out after all, right? All right.